late this evening. Again, let me say thank you so much for your labors. I know we had to talk to one man this morning. They had 9 visitors, and I know several brought folks. How many of you were able to get someone to come? Let me start this way. How many of you invited someone to come today? You invited someone to come. Good, wonderful. How many had somebody come that you invited? All right, great. That's wonderful. Appreciate again the great job you have done. Let's pray. Lord, we do thank you for, again, this great day we had this morning. And Lord, help us never to take for granted when people get saved, when people get right with you. And Lord, we pray you'd help these folks that came today to go on in the Lord and to grow and become what you want them to be. Now, Lord, I ask you to bless our time together as we look at your word. In Jesus' name, amen. How many of you are tired tonight? You're a little weary. Okay. You're the people I want to preach to. So if you're not tired, you can take a nap or do something else. Hopefully the reason you're tired is because you spent some time this week serving the Lord, whether it was serving people today at the meal or driving a bus or working a bus route or out visiting or whatever you might have done. Now, my challenge is that the people that are tired are the ones I want to talk to, but those are the ones that are about to go to sleep. So somehow I got to keep you awake long enough to help you here tonight, okay? This evening I want to draw your attention to one phrase in Judges chapter 8. Last Sunday morning, or afternoon, right after church, pastor came to me and said, man, my voice is killing me. He said, I don't know if I'll make it tonight. Could you get a message together? And I said, well, I can pull something out that I've preached before in the past. So I got a message out on Christian endurance, how to endure as a believer out of Hebrews chapter 11. Then, as you know, he was able to preach last Sunday night. And then he texted me Tuesday and said, now I'll be gone Sunday night and want to make sure you know that and you're preaching Sunday night. Wednesday morning, I was having my devotions, and I was reading in Judges chapter 7 and chapter 8 about Gideon, and I read in verse 4, and a phrase just jumped out. Ever read the Word of God, and something just went, pow, that's for you? And well, it turns out it's for you, too. Judges chapter 8 and verse 4, and it says, and Gideon came to Jordan, passed over, he and the 300 men that were with him. Here's the phrase that jumped out at me, faint, yet pursuing them. Faint, yet pursuing them. Now, when you're faint as a believer, you have a couple of choices. Let's just talk about two. When you're tired, when you're weary as a believer, maybe weary in the work of God, what are the two choices you have? You can quit. This is really deep, I know. You can quit, or you can keep on keeping on. And tonight, I want to encourage you as believers, you may be faint, you may be weary in the work of God, but I want to encourage you to keep pursuing. Keep pursuing. And so the title tonight is real simple, right out of the Word of God, Faint Yet Pursuing. Faint Yet Pursuing. First of all, I want to see the cause of weariness, and this is a familiar story to most of you, and so I'll just run right through it. But in these several chapters, the Midianites, who were the offspring of Abraham and Keturah, had became the enemies of the people of God. They were marauders. The Israelites, because of their sin, were being chastised by God, disciplined by God. And so these Midianites came in, and every year about harvest time, the Israelites would work all year long, get the harvest ready to go, and just as soon as the wheat was ready, what would happen? These guys would come sweeping out of the hills and would take all the fruit, take all the wheat, take all the produce, whatever they were raising. This had gone on now for 7 years. This is now the 8th year, and they come in to do this again. They have an army of 135,000 fighting men. So that's the scene, and God comes to a man. It's kind of, the Lord has a great sense of humor, and this guy is threshing wheat. Now, I've never threshed wheat, you probably haven't either, but they say when they did it, the idea is to beat the wheat and get the chaff to separate from the hull or whatever, and then they would throw it up in the air and the wind would blow the chaff away. It's interesting because this man was down where? Where was he threshing the wheat? in the wine press, how much, which would be in a low place, how much wind is there going to be down there? Not at all. But why was he doing it? Because he was afraid. He was afraid of the Midianites. And yet the Lord comes to him and he says, the angel said, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And here he is hiding away down there. Well, Gideon turned out to be a mighty man of valor, and God said, I want you to lead my people in battle against the Midianites. And so he sent out a call to battle to four tribes, Manasseh, Asher, Zebulun, and Naphtali. 212,000 men could have come to fight. How many showed up to fight? 32,000. Now, I've got a sermon on this, and I'm not preaching that sermon tonight, but 32,000 against 135,000 is not very good odds. So he's called out this army, but the second thing God calls me to do is looking at this cause of weariness. Now, this is a word I could not have used 32 years ago, but I know it now. And not only did God have him call an army, but God had to call out the army. Isn't that a great word? That's a nice southern word, isn't it? Had to call it out. There were too many. Isn't that amazing? God says to Gideon, you know, you've only got 32,000, but if you guys win, even though these are impossible odds, you're going to brag about how great you are. Kind of shows the nature of man and their pride, doesn't it? And God says, that's just too many. So all the chickens go home. And boy, the chickens flew the coop, didn't they? And they took off. 22,000 of them said, I hear my mama calling, and I think I need to go home and sleep in my posturpedic bed. And they went home, and he was left with 10,000. Now it's 10,000 versus 135,000. I can figure those odds a little bit better. And God said, Gideon, that's still too many. And he said, I want to take your army on a forced march, and we're going to separate the men from the boys. At the end of that march, they're going to go down to this brook, and they're going to go down, they're going to drink, and all those that put their head down into the water to lap it up like a dog would, they're going home. What do you think Gideon was praying? Lord, don't let them lap. Lord, let them use their hands. Well, unfortunately, most of them got down and lapped up the water like dogs, and he now has 300 versus 135,000. So Gideon calls the 300 guys together with the battle plan. Can you imagine? He's got the chalkboard up there. He says, okay, guys, here's what we're going to do. Here's the Midianites down here in the valley, 135,000. And we're going to take our 300 guys. We're going to surround them. And the guys say, that's a good idea. That's a pretty good plan. And then he says, by the way, each of you make sure you have a trumpet. A trumpet? Okay. And he said, you also need to take a lamp and a pitcher. Put the pitcher over the lamp. Now, let's be honest. How many of you would have gone home at that point? I think I'll join the chickens. I'm going home. And so they did what Gideon said to do, and at the last watch, probably around 11 o'clock, midnight, they surround this army of 135,000 men, and God works a miracle. And those men at the right signal from Gideon, they break those pitchers, and the lights are showing all around that camp, and they blow the trumpets, and they shout what? The sword of the Lord and of Gideon. And an amazing thing happens. By the time that night is over, there are only 15,000 Midianites left. But the interesting thing is, Gideon and his men, we don't have really a record of them killing those men. They all killed themselves. There was such confusion in the camp. God worked in such a special way, they just kind of stood up there on the hillside and watched the show. And the Midianites just destroyed themselves. But we've got a problem. There's still 15,000 left. And they're heading out. The Midianites are heading for home. Now, Gideon's men have a choice to make. All right, let them go, or do we chase them down? Now, it's interesting in the Word of God, we find out that at this point, Gideon calls these men, the chickens, to come back. You know, all you chickens that ran home to mama, come back and help us finish the job. Well, now the route is on. So these guys say, hey, let's go. I mean, I can tell my grandkids. You remember when that 300 killed? I was there. Yes, I was there. Yeah. So they all come flying back, and they jump in the battle. And they're chasing these Midianites, and they chase them some 50 miles to the Jordan River, and they keep pursuing them, and they keep pursuing them. He calls ahead to the Ephraimites, sends a guy to tell the Ephraimites, look, they're coming your way. Man the fords. When they come, don't let them through. Kill them. And they continue chasing them. Now, Gideon's men had a choice. They could have said, hey, boy, what a great night. Man, what victory. Oh, I was just standing there playing this. You should have heard me playing, man. It was awesome. I was playing my trumpet, you know, and waving my thing. Oh, it was just, and they were just killing us. But we were really good that night. That was great stuff, man. The victory's over. Let's go home. We've had enough, right? We've had enough. I mean, we were faithful. We did what we were supposed to do. We stood up and fought when we were supposed to. Let's go home. Or they could continue the battle. Now, we had a great day this morning. Boy, weren't those great testimonies? They were all about people who were serving God this week and how God used them. Wow, wonderful. So we served God this week, and now we're really tired, so hey, we're done. Or should we keep pursuing? You see, these folks fought hard, folks. They had all these things that they were doing, folks, and yet they kept going. They're weary, they're faint, yet they're pursuing. Secondly, not only do I want to see the cause of weariness, but the case for quitting. Why could they have quit? Let me give you a couple that are obvious from the text, or from just kind of common knowledge, and some from the text. Number one, they could have been content, couldn't they? You know what? I invited 5 people to come today, and 3 came, and they got saved. Hallelujah, I'm content. Boy, I've done a work for God. I can settle down now. Take it easy. The new shows are coming on TV. It's time to settle back, catch up on all this stuff from last year, and, well, it's going to be great. It's football season. Football season. It's time to settle back and watch TV. Hey, I did my job. I'm content. I was a bus captain, you know. I served in the bus ministry for 3 years. Hey, I've done my job. I'm content. Oh, I've ushered. I've done this. I've done that. I've served the Lord faithfully, and you know what? I'm pretty content with what I've done. And we sit back because of our contentment, and we quit serving the Lord. They could have said that, couldn't they? Second thing, they could have said, you know what? I am just wiped out. I mean, I am just physically exhausted. Now, you think about all those guys had been through. They'd been living in tents away from home. They'd been training. They'd been on forced marches. They had been preparing for war. They had attacked late at night. They'd been chasing these guys for 50 miles. They're tired. They could have said, you know what? Whew, I'm done. Now, many of you are tired tonight because you've been serving the Lord this week. Now you have a choice. Well, I got 12 months to the next big day. I can rest up and take it easy. Or you can keep at it. You can be faint, yet pursuing. You know, you think about it, the work has just begun. Several of these, I know the couple that the Mullins dealt with, they gave them the book, Stepping in the Light. Boy, you know, to be honest with you, so far, what we've done is the easy part. Now, discipling people for Christ and helping them to grow and sacrificing our time and our money and our talents and things to help minister to people, that's work. That's what lays in front of us. They could have quit because they were content, because they were physically exhausted. The third one, which you may not realize, it's actually found in our text in chapter 8, and that is because of what I'm calling friendly fire. Some of you guys have been in the military. I see John back there. And I remember in the Gulf War, there were a number of men, I don't know, in the 40s or so, that they think were probably killed by friendly fire. And you know, we're pretty good at fighting the enemy, but what happens in the church when the people in the church attack? That's exactly what happened to Gideon. Look in chapter 8 and verse 1. And the men of Ephraim said unto him, why hast thou served us thus that thou callest us not when thou wentest to fight with the Midianites? And they did chide him sharply. What happened? Who's getting the glory now? Gideon and all these guys. You killed how many with 300 guys? And the Ephraimites said, hey, why didn't you call? If you'd called us, we would have gladly come. Yeah, right. And so here are people that are of his own people that should have been helping him, and they're jumping on him now, and they're working him over. They're jealous of all the things that Gideon had done. Can that happen in a church work? Well, he had more on his bus than I did, but I don't know if he counted right. I really don't. I mean, to be honest with you, I was already here when he got here, and I counted when they got off, and I didn't count that many. said he had seven visitors. I don't think so. I think some of those were here before. Well, he brought all those visitors, but I bet he bribed them. I bet he said, look, I'll give you money if you'll come. Well, he said he won all those people to Christ, but I bet he really didn't. That would never happen in a church, would it? Well, if I'd had that opportunity, I would have done a whole lot better job than that. And the devil doesn't defeat us by the enemy coming from the outside, but the devil defeats us from the people on the inside. And let me ask you a question. As a believer, these testimonies tonight, let me ask you a question. As these people were giving these testimonies, what were you thinking? Wish they'd sit down and shut up. They always have. Well, I did more than that. They're not so great. Or are you saying, praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm glad that God used them like that. That's wonderful. I hope you were. What a sad thing that in the body of Christ, when someone gets glory and gets an elevation for what they've done, and other believers start taking pot shots at them. That's exactly what happened to Gideon. Now, how did he respond? Now, what could he have done? Think about this. What could he have done? Well, I'll show you. And he could have gone to war with the Ephraimites. What did he do? Look in verse 2. And he said unto them, what have I done in comparison of you? Is not the gleaning of the grapes of Ephraim better than the vintage of Abiezer? God hath delivered into your hands the princes of Midian, Oreb and Zeb. Wouldn't you be glad to kill those guys? One means wolf and the other means raven. And what was I able to do in comparison to you? Then their anger was abated toward him when he had said that. What did he do? He could have said, look, guys, I just killed 120,000 guys. My army just killed 120,000. You got two princes, you losers. I'm a whole lot better than you are. But instead, what did he do? Hey, that kindness that Steve was talking about earlier. He pacified him, didn't he? Why did he do that? Because he had a job to do. Now, we can either fight each other in the church, or we can fight the devil. Now, when we start fighting each other, the devil's won, hasn't he? We were talking today after lunch. A couple men were still there, and we were talking about our last mission trip to Nova Scotia. It was a wonderful time. It really was. And we're praying about where the Lord has to go this year. Lord willing, we may be heading out to Brazil for those that have lots of money, and to Telford for those that don't. Just kidding. We'll find someplace besides Telford. And we're talking about the success of that trip. And you know why it went so well? Because there was a unity of purpose. We were going to do a job. And it didn't matter if the job was painting or crawling underneath the cabin and getting in the mud. I think some of those guys, I think Buddy personally really enjoyed that. I think he really did. He enjoyed that mud. We didn't have any problems because everybody said, you know, we've got a job to do and we're going to do it. And that's how the church ought to be. Instead of taking pot shots at other believers or being jealous because, well, they got the position and I didn't, or they got to sing the solo and I didn't, or they got this and I didn't, we should be saying, praise the Lord, isn't that great? Praise the Lord for God's blessing in their life. Well, jealousy was very evident at that time. Let me give you another one. In verse 7 and 23, I already mentioned this to you, chapter 7, verse 23, and it says, the men of Israel gathered themselves together out of Naphtali and out of Asher and out of all Manasseh and pursued after the Midianites. Now, this is after the battle, okay? But I want you to look back at verse 4 of chapter 8. Now, put your thinking cap on. And it says, and Gideon came to Jordan and passed over, he and the 300 men that were with him, faint, yet pursuing them. Do you see it? How many were pursuing? 300. What happened to all the guys in verse 24 from Ephraim? Or not verse 24, the men of Naphtali in verse 23, and Asher and Manasseh. What happened to those boys? They quit. They came and helped a little while, and then they said, you know what? This marching stuff, this is not for me. I mean, I've got this brand new pair of boots, and they're just not working out for this. You know, these brand new sandals. You know, they're not marching sandals. I mean, you know, I can't be chasing these guys around. You know, I've got stuff to do at home. I don't really have time to go chase these guys all over the countryside. And they quit. They just quit. They dropped out of the chase. You know, it was fun when we're bragging about the great victory and, oh, wow, this is good. But now we got to work. Are you got to be kidding? I thought we were just going to come back a little bit, mop them, go home. And these guys said, you know what? I've had enough. And they quit. They just stopped. Does that happen in the work of God today? Oh, things are exciting. Oh, boy, we're doing this. This is great stuff. Oh, it's wonderful. And then, man, this is not so great anymore. And I just think I'm going to go home. See, when it's easy, everybody will do it. When it gets tough, they quit. Let me ask you a question tonight. Have you quit the work that God has called you to do? You say, well, you know, I'm too tired. I'm burned out. I've got other things I need to do. And have you ever thought about the effect that you have on others when you quit? You ever thought about that? If you're an usher and you quit, or you're in the choir and you just quit because that ugly, mean song director, you know, or you're in the bus ministry and you just, you know, I've just had enough and I just quit. What does that do to everybody else? Well, you know what? Maybe I'm missing something. Maybe I ought to quit too. And those 300 guys could have said, you know what? Bunch of losers. They all quit. And the further they went toward the Jordan, the less and less guys there were. By the time they got to Jordan, there's only 300 left. But what were they doing, folks? They were faint, but they were still pursuing. There's one more group here I want you to see. And this is a selfish crowd. Chapter 8, verse 5. So here they are, they're marching, they're going, trying to track these guys down. He said unto the men of Succoth, give, I pray thee, loaves of bread unto the people that follow me, for they be faint, and I am pursuing after Zeba and Zalmunna, kings of Midian. And the princes of Succoth said, are you kidding? That's what they said. Are the hands of Zeba and Zalmunna now in thine hand that we should give bread into thine army? And Gideon said, therefore, when the Lord hath delivered Zeba and Zalmunna into my hand, when the job is done, you guys are in big trouble. Then in verse 8, and he went up thence to Penuel and said unto them likewise. And the men of Penuel answered him as the men of Succoth had answered him. And here he is, he's needing help, he's needing somebody to do something. And what do they say? Hey, look, we're in hot pursuit, guys. We're going after these guys, we're going to get them, but we're a little hungry. Could you feed us? We don't have enough to share. No, we don't want to help you in this thing. They were selfish. Do you know that there are needs at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church right now that need to be met? Right now we need a fourth grade boys teacher. We've needed one for several months. Right now we need someone to undertake helping the international ministry by getting a CDL and driving on Sunday nights for the international ministry. We need it right now. We've got two folks that are doing it, but they're already driving in the morning, and then they're having to turn on and drive at night, and it's a great burden. We need somebody right now. Right now, we're asking for more ushers. We would like to double our usher crews so they can take turns and have a Sunday they're on, a Sunday they're off. What a wonderful ministry. Well, you know, I would, but you know, right after church, I really need to get home in a hurry, and you know, my pew's pretty comfortable, and just standing up in front of people, you know, I don't know about that. You know. We have selfish folks, too busy, can't, really don't want to. So they quit, or they never get involved. Now, final point, the cure for quitting. Here it is. Let me give it to you real quickly. Two points. Number one, focus on the cause. Focus on the cause. Gideon very easily could have gotten sidetracked and said, you know what, you guys of Ephraim, I'm taking you down. Now, if he'd done that, what would have happened to the Midianite army by the time he got done? They're gone. They're 15,000, they make it back home, and then they're fine. He could have said, look, you guys are Succoth, you're going down, boys. I'm going to tear this city down, and I'm going to take you down because you wouldn't feed my guys. And he could have got very easily sidetracked from the job God had called him to do, but he kept his eye on the job, and he said, you know what, I've got a job to do, and I'm going to continue to pursuing. He could have stopped because the battle was impossible. He could have stopped when the guys deserted. He could have stopped when he was tired. He could have stopped from the Ephraimites and all the selfishness. Could have stopped at all those things, but Gideon said, we are faint, but we are still pursuing. Still serving God. Still serving God. I think David is a great example of this when he came to fight Goliath. When he showed up on the scene, did his brothers welcome him with open arms? Oh, little brother, great to see you. No, they accused him of all kinds of things. Well, you left the flock. You just come here to see the fight, huh, you loser? And they gave him down the road. But David said, you know what? There's a cause. Protecting the very honor of God. And David fought, and he fought. I like what the Apostle Paul says in the Word of God. He says, brethren, I count not myself to apprehend it. He wasn't content, but this one thing I do, you remember the cause, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, this is what we ought to be doing as believers, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God. I'm afraid today we've got all kinds of believers that are resting in the Lord. They're doing nothing. They're resting. Maybe it's not in the Lord. They're just resting. Hey, you know, there is a time. Let me ask you a question. When should a believer quit serving God? Now, I know that the ministry may change. You know, when you were 50, you may have been a bus captain. Now you're 92. You know, okay, Sonny, get on the bus. If you'll help me on the bus, we'll take these kids. You know, I know, but that doesn't mean the ministry stops. It's just God leads you to something else. Amen. I tell you, folks, the time for a believer to quit serving God is when they get to heaven. By the way, we all want rest, don't we? I've got good news for you. Let me read this verse in Romans 14:13. And I heard a voice from heaven saying, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors. I got good news for you. There's going to be a rest. But you know what it is? It's not tomorrow. It's in heaven when you get to heaven. You're going to have all eternity to rest. You might as well do something while you're here. Look. Folks, the songwriters had it well. They said, the day of rest shall dawn at last. There's going to be a rest. I'm glad for that. Another songwriter, we actually sang it tonight. Work for the night is coming when no man's work, when man can work no more. Now is not the time to rest, folks. Now's the time to pursue. Keep your eyes on the cause. Secondly and finally, focus on the commander. This is where Hebrews 12 comes in. Hebrews 12, this is the second message, but it won't be long. Don't worry. Don't panic. Hebrews 12, turn there quickly. Hebrews 12, verse 1-3. I want you to look at the end of verse 3, okay? What are we talking about tonight? Being weary in the battle. Quitting because we're tired or whatever. Look at the end of the verse. In verse 3, it says, lest ye be wearied and faint in your mind. So in this passage, he's going to give us the answer to keep from being weary and faint. Okay? Let's look at it. First of all, we see the encouragement to endure by the saints who preceded us. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. What's he talking about? Well, my dad, he used to preach that he thought maybe people in heaven could see us and they're in heaven cheering us on. I'm not sure if that's true or not. It's kind of neat to think about it. I think probably in the text, it's all those in Hebrews chapter 11. People like Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Sarah and all those people who finished the job by faith, who completed the race. And there are examples. Hey, it's possible. You know, when you're going through a situation, doesn't it help to know somebody else who went through the same situation and made it? Well, see, these folks went through situations, they didn't have the Word of God. They didn't have the canon of Scripture. The Lord Jesus Christ had not come yet like we have, and yet they pursued and they finished the battle. He said, look, there are some people around here encouraging us. And then he said, Look, here's some things you need to do. Lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with... Now, in our Bible it says patience. That word is also endurance. Endurance. The race that is set before us. He said, look, here's some instruction for enduring. You need to lay some things aside. You know, the simple matter of fact is, you can't do everything and endure. You can't spend a life of pursuing... I appreciate Karen's testimony this morning. I don't know where Karen went. I saw her just a minute ago, didn't I? Oh, she's over here. You're supposed to sit back over here where you normally sit. Don't mess with my mind now, okay? But how that God really helped her to see the important thing in life. And being the good wife that she ought to be, and to rearing her children and homeschooling her children and not following the career path. Now, you see, you can't do everything. You know, and I find often as believers, I think we're going after this. And the simple matter of fact is we don't have time to serve the Lord. And so those are the weights that need to be set aside, the things that hinder us. And then the sins, which doth so easily beset us. We've got to get rid of those things, folks. But the thing I really want to talk about is the last part of this verse. And that is verse 2, looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus. One of the things I've noticed in my ministry, folks, is that focus is everything. If you want to be discouraged and despondent, focus on all the problems. Were there some problems today? Yes, there were. Sure. Now, I have a choice. I can say, well, boy, that's terrible. I'm terrible. Oh, look at the problem. Y'all, that's that. Or I can say, boy, look at that guy that came forward and trusted Christ today. Look at this great, exciting thing that happened today. Well, thing that happened today. And as believers, in your life, you can either focus on your problems and the difficulties, or you can focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. And look at, as we focus on Him, the author, I like this. This is a great phrase. If you're like me, I'm a great starter. How many are good starters? How many are good finishers? Yeah. That's the tough part, isn't it? But look what Jesus did, folks. He's the author, the starter, and the finisher of our faith. Isn't that a great phrase? The songwriter said it well. Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. See, folks, He says, who for the joy that was set before Him, He endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God, the throne of God. Wow, what a great picture. Jesus Christ. He said, look, I want you to focus on Him. Focus on what He did for you. What did He do for you? He died in your place. I deserve the wrath of God. I deserve hell. I deserve the punishment of God. But Jesus Christ took all that upon Himself on the cross. What a great truth. And Jesus, folks, He died in our place. Great verse, 2 Corinthians 5:21. For He, that's God, hath made Him, Jesus Christ, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. And I always rejoice, Jesus Christ took my sin so I could have His righteousness. What a great truth. And a song the choir sings, I sang as a solo, I guess, once, but we sing as a choir. It was... For me, He died. For me, He cried. For me, He shed His blood. Folks, look, Jesus Christ did all that for you. And why did He do it? He endured because of the hope of the future of redemption. Redemption of our lives. For the joy we'll have in heaven someday. He endured and He went on and He went on and He became a curse for us. And look again in verse 3. What does He say? For consider Him. That's the same idea as looking unto Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself. Folks, Jesus finished the job. And the writer is saying, look, when you're discouraged, when you're tired, when you're weary, when you want to quit, look to Jesus. Remember what He did for you. And the song says, after all He's done for me, how can I do less than give Him my best and live for Him completely after all He's done for me? Jesus endured to the end, and we're called to focus on him and what he did. Let me ask a question. If you're weary tonight and maybe thinking about quitting, where's your focus? Get it off of yourself and get it on Jesus Christ. By the way, if you want to become discouraged and become neurotic and become, you know, where they have to put, you know, one of those jackets that ties in the back, you know, one of those things, just focus on yourself for a while. Just think about how bad you are and how you've blown it and how pitiful your life is. Some of you are already getting discouraged. I can see that. If you want to be encouraged and keep a right focus, keep it on the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did for you. Consider him. Look unto him. And think about what he did for you. And it'll keep you from being weary and faint-hearted. Several groups of people in our passage in Judges tonight. There were those who hindered the work of God, those who quit the work of God, and those who did the work of God. Let me ask you a question tonight. Which group are you in? Now, I'll be honest with you, I'm really preaching to people who are already doing something for God. But it may be that you're here tonight and you're not. I mean, you're not involved in any ministry of the church. You ought to be. In fact, every single person in this auditorium ought to be involved in some ministry at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. That's why God put you here. I don't know about you, but I don't like being a spectator. I would much rather play basketball than watch basketball, even at my advanced age. I still would. I'd much rather be involved than to sit back and watch what's going on. And I want to encourage you tonight, if you're not, you may not be in any danger for quitting because you're not doing anything. Hey, I want to encourage you. Seek the will of God for what he'd have you do at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. And if you're a little weary tonight and thinking about quitting, hey, let me encourage you to be like Gideon's 300. Yeah, we're faint, but hallelujah, we're still pursuing. We're faint, but we're going on. I pray you're not part of that crowd that's discouraging those that are still pursuing. Like the Ephraimites, like the people of Succoth and Penuel. Hope you're not like them. Which group are you in tonight? Let me encourage you. Hey, we may be weary, but if you'll keep your focus on the cause and the commander, you're going to make it. You're going to make it. Keep at it. Rest will come when we all get to heaven. But let's keep working until we get there, okay? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for these good folks. I know it's been a long day and this has been a long service, but I just pray you'd encourage their hearts. Help us as believers to focus on you and to be encouraged in the fight. And there may be believers tonight, they need to get in the fight. They need to get off the sidelines and get in the game and get in the race and run the race that you've set before them. And I pray that even tonight they would surrender their will to yours and do the work that needs to be done. Lord, we need some people to help us in this work that you've given to us. And I pray that you'd help us as believers to get in the work and do it. And though we're weary, God, help us to keep pursuing, we pray. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. I think what I'll do, ladies, let's have you play I Surrender All. I Surrender All. I wonder if there's someone tonight that would say, Gary, you know, I'll be honest with you. I'm not even in the race. I really can't think of anything I'm doing for the Lord, but I sure want to. I sure want to. And you would say tonight, I'm going to say, Lord, tonight, I will do what you want me to do. Lord, you show me, and I'll do it. I didn't really preach to you, but we've mentioned it. I wonder if you're in that boat tonight. You say, Gary, I'm a member here, but I'm really not serving the Lord, but I want to. And I'm going to tell God tonight, Lord, I will do what you want me to do. You show me, and I'll do it. Are you saying that in your heart? Would you just slip up your hand? Just hold up just a second and say, that's me. I'm going to say tonight, Lord, you show me, I'll do it. Good. Amen. Anybody else to join these four or five? Good. Amen. You say, tonight, I'm going to say, Lord, you show me, I'll do it. I'm surrendering my will to the Lord. Is anybody else to join these four or five? Amen. Praise the Lord. Good. Others. I'm going to stay right here for a minute. You say, Gary, that's me. Tonight, I'm going to begin praying, Lord, you show me what to do, and I will do it. Anybody else to join these? Anybody else? Amen. Good. Anybody else? While people are raising their hands, I'm going to camp right here just a minute, all right? You say, Gary, tonight, I'm going to say the Lord, you show me, I'll do it. Anybody else to join these six or seven? Amen. Good. Others? Say tonight, amen. Good. I should have preached on this instead, I guess. Anybody else? Gary, tonight, I'm saying, Lord, you show me, I'll do it. Anybody join these six or seven that raise their hand tonight? Now, let me talk to those that are already in the work. You gotten a little weary, a little faint? Several people that said, you know, as a bus captain, I quit every Sunday afternoon and I crank it up again Monday. It's all about focus. It's all about focus. And I would encourage you tonight, if you're a little weary in the battle, tell the Lord, God, I'm going to continue to pursue. I'm going to keep my focus on Jesus Christ and be helped in this battle. Let's just do this. Let's have you stand to your feet. They're playing. Seven or eight of you raised your hand saying, Gary, I'm going to start to pray. God, you show me what to do, and I'll do it. And you can do that at home. You can do it in your pew. I know that. But I find in my life that when I come forward praying the altar, it helps me to mean business a whole lot more. Maybe you're a little discouraged tonight, a little weary, and you're just going to come and tell the Lord, God, encourage me in the way. Help me to get my focus right, Lord, and keep pursuing the battle. They're playing. You come as you need to come. You raise your hand. You come. You pray. Tell the Lord, Lord, here it is. I'm giving my life to you. You show me what to do, and I'll do it. As they play, you come. Pastor mentioned me this morning. Be sure you thank them for all their work. And we as a church staff, we do appreciate your labors. We really do. And I hope we don't take them for granted because a lot of hours went into today. And folks serving and folks visiting. And I don't know. I think we had 40 sign up for breakfast, had about 70 show up. And that's a good way to have it. I'd rather have 40, you know, well, anyway. And I had a great crowd out visitation yesterday. And I was kind of like you. I looked at the weather coming across. And I said, boy, if we could wait till about 12:30, it'd be such a blessing. But we're going to pray for rain every Saturday now. let me just get a little more out of you, and we're going to go home. You men that have volunteered to help move those tables. Ben, if you'll go on over and unlock the doors, and we'll get ready for that. And those that are going to England, if you'll go immediately downstairs, Mr. Bob, And we'll try to let you go home as quickly as possible. Again, thank you, thank you, thank you. May the Lord bless you, give you a great week this week. You are dismissed.